avian radar. Lots of research funding is being spent, but will it ever really prevent any bird strikes? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. The ditching of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 in the Hudson River back in January made bird strikes one of 2009's big stories, not just among us aviation geeks, but among the general public, too. It's resulted in lots of money being thrown at research, and one of the easy places to aim it has been avian radar. But even supposing we make great strides in situational awareness, can an A320 climbing out at 200 knots really do anything to dodge a bunch of geese? Could there be better ways to prevent bird strikes? Scott Philibin is an executive of many hats at Precise Flight, a company in Oregon that makes OEM and aftermarket aircraft systems, including gas discharge lighting. In the course of tinkering with the gas chemistry inside the company's bulbs to allow varying the brightness to simulate incandescent wigwag without interrupting the HID's arc, Scott and his collaborators discovered some interesting effects on bird behavior. But first, let's start with the usefulness of radar.
The radar has really good applications from a standpoint of, you know, monitoring bird behavior around airports, and you can, you know, use it, you know, to detect, you know, where birds are going and if they're flying over the airport to go to a particular garbage dump, for instance. But when you start wanting to predict, you know, what a bird actually does, you know, in the presence of an aircraft, you know, that we're talking a level of aerodynamic capability that we are not able to even think about achieving with present day aircraft, and you know, levels of aerodynamic efficiency and changes that birds can make that prediction of that travel is extremely difficult. So, you know, we've talked about it in the background to say, you know, yes, you're going to have a collision. Maybe you're not. Well, you know, he's back again, and it's going towards your aircraft. Oh, he's changed course correction again. And those sort of things, you know, are not useful, you know, from a standpoint of a pilot, you know, especially a commercial pilot, you know, filled with a fuel running low on an airliner with a bunch of crabby people in it wanting to put down on an airport. You know, that's not going to be the most informational or you know, something that a pilot can actually use to avoid what is a known hazard.
Well, and I guess if you could, the question would be, do you want to take an airliner full of crabby people and pull 7 Gs to avoid, you know, a couple of birds, and then, you know, maybe they change at the last minute and go the same way you do?
I think about that. I remember flying in a G4 with the Martin Marietta test pilot, he wasn't a test pilot, he was a corporate pilot, but he was a Navy test pilot, and we put that G4 through its full range of capability, and the pilot grinning at me, and I was sitting in the jump seat and saying, you know, I'll never be able to do that with the boss on board. And you know, I was still thrilled, but I can imagine if I were in the back of the airplane that those sort of maneuvers would not leave you with a sense of stability about that airline or the operation of that airline, you know, into the future. And it wouldn't be a practical response to a bird threat. Money tends to follow the idea, and if the money follows the idea, the support follows that idea, and that just continues to provide the momentum forward to say that this is the correct way we should go, despite the fact that science may show that it may be much more effective to do something else.
Before we get off on global warming, let's talk about how lighting on an airplane can affect its likelihood of being involved in a bird strike, because I don't think a lot of people understand it's not just a matter of making landing lights brighter. What is it, first of all, what is it about bird physiology that makes this important or useful, and what is it that we can do with lights to maximize that effect?
Yeah, birds have a higher visual capability than we do. They see essentially what we do, but they see in some ways much more. For instance, they see, you know, well into the UV range, and they actually have a rod that's associated with that. Species dependent, some of them have acuities in visual spectrum due to sort of oil droplets, which are like sunglasses, essentially, for different frequencies for the bird, so that it's able to actually, you know, highlight different sort of, so far field, looking for predators from a goose standpoint, you know, looking in a blue sky background or, you know, along the grass line for, you know, a predator of some sort. They have a higher flicker fusion rate, which is that thing about that allows us to go to movies and actually see a movie as a moving picture and not, you know, a group of connected pictures. A bird would go to a movie theater and wonder why we were there, because it was just one picture. It looked like something on MSN, you know, from a one picture right after another picture, right after another picture. And so there are very interesting ways through the visual pathway in birds that you can actually reach them. The interesting thing that we found is that pulsing light, which seems very simple, actually has quite a few interesting characteristics. It actually changes in spectral frequency, which would be like looking at your iTunes with the spectrum of the noise, you know, shown on the background. That's actually something, you know, it would be similar to a change in a tune in music, to a change in the tune of the light actually reaching the bird's eye. And then that actually is something that they are very, very attuned to. It seems to be a very simple concept, and from a human standpoint, it's easy for us to see, say, you know, on a dark, you know, dusky afternoon. It's more visual to see a light of something approaching you than it is to see the object. But birds with a higher visual acuity actually see so much more, and so these sort of subtle differences actually get their attention much sooner than they would even be to us.
In a moment, Scott Philibin of Precise Flight explains how we could maximize the effects of aircraft lighting on birds to get their attention. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wasp Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wasp GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Scott Philibin, VP of Engineering and Business Development at Precise Flight, who claims to have discovered a side effect of modulated HID lighting that could be useful in reducing bird strikes. It's time now for the nuts and bolts.
So you have said, I think if I understood you correctly, you said that to a bird, a strobe light or a light that's of uniform spectral content that's simply going on and off is not as intrusive as a light that's changing in color temperature or whatever you want to put it, that's changing its spectral content.
Yeah, after 12 years of research, the USDA and Dr. Brad Blackwell and I have, you know, spent a lot of time and a lot of discussions over a beer afterwards and what is actually happening, you know, to the bird or what the bird is actually seeing, and supported with tests, you know, in the following year that it is the changes that happen in a modulating light, not a light that's turning on and off, that actually seem to attract attention versus, you know, a strobe light, for instance, which is on and then off, or a steady light, which, you know, projects a constant frequency. But this sort of subtle modulation in color temperature or, you know, spectral output is actually something that's quite visually unique to a bird, because it doesn't happen in nature. It seems to be an abnormality or something that's out of the ordinary for a bird to actually look at.
So what types of lights are we actually talking about? Obviously, a xenon strobe tube is not the answer. LEDs don't have a tremendous change in their spectral content in the milliseconds that they're turning on and off. You're talking specifically, I think, about HID lights or some kind of gas discharge tube that is not turned all the way off?
We've gone through a lot of investigation. I mean, we came upon this because we were looking at the changes in what an incandescent light was doing. And that's how we kind of led down this pathway. And we started working with LEDs very early on because, you know, LEDs represent essentially digital light. You can pick a very, very narrow frequency and stick with it, or change it from one frequency to another. And we actually had lights and patents actually related to that, of changing the different frequencies and modulating from one frequency to another, you know, with an additional UV component. But we were having some difficulty, and one, in getting enough light to actually project out, and two, in actually achieving, you know, a more natural color change. And what we started working with is an HID, and the sort of pulsing HID that we actually have and actually have now approved on aircraft, is that, you know, we have this now very extremely bright light that's suitable as a landing light for a Boeing aircraft or an Airbus aircraft, that actually changes spectral output. And we can tune that depending upon the gas chemistry within the bulb. So now we have this sort of tool where we can, you know, mimic an incandescent light if we want, or, you know, hit spectral frequencies that we know sort of, I mean, for instance, a goose is more particularly sensitive to, because of, you know, where its photosensitivity ends up being in its optic capability, and actually sweep across that piece in order to change and get more attention. We haven't been able to actually take that into the field because, you know, Precise Flight has been funding this research up to this point, and aviation has not been the most robust of industries in the last few months. But, you know, we've spent $1 million or so up to this point to get here. To us, it's almost like we're 20 yards from the goal line. We just can't quite get there.
Well, let me put this into perspective then, from the standpoint of what it would take to try this. Airliners are buying landing lights, you know, or people who maintain airliners are buying landing lights now. If they simply replaced what they have with a spectrally modulated HID landing light, given the number of bird strikes that are recorded every year in the U.S., it probably wouldn't take a whole long time to build much of a case for doing this, because, I mean, you'd think the results would show pretty early.
It's really interesting, and we it's an interesting sell. The 1549 accident brought a lot of attention to bird strikes, and airlines, like most businesses, are paying attention to the most, you know, critical concern that they're dealing with, either passenger safety or with fuel costs or with labor costs relative to their operation. And some days, you know, other costs tend to, you know, follow further down the scale. So the 1549 accident actually brought the impact of bird strike costs very, very much to the forefront. Mm-hmm. You know, people are paying much more attention. And what people have been telling, you know, us, Alaska Airlines was a good example that came back to us, in that, you know, the payback of installing a system like this was in much less than a month or two. Mm-hmm. You know, but where before we were having a hard time saying that, you know, installing a pulsing landing light or you know, going to the point of a pulsing HID like we're doing for the Gulfstream 650, you know, it was just an expensive proposition for a landing light. But the payback from a bird strike standpoint is actually in less than half a year.
Scott says Precise Flight has spent over $1 million over the years to bring this concept this far. Scott Philibin is the VP of Engineering and Business Development for Precise Flight. Find out more about the company at www.preciseflight.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero, spelled aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.